Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, a quick introduction to today's episode. I'm so excited to have my guest, Phil Graham, who's a nutritionist, author and speaker from Northern Ireland. Phil has written for publications such as Muscle and Fitness, Flex and Train magazine. We talked everything in this episode, from health and fitness to building a morning routine, to what books he thinks everybody should read and would benefit from, to how social media can mess you up. So I'm so excited to have Phil on. He just provides so much value in this episode. So I hope you guys get loads from it. So without further ado, here's my guest, Phil Graham. Enjoy. Okay, hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm delighted today to be joined by my guest, Phil Graham. Phil is a personal trainer, author, and speaker from Northern Ireland. He was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 16 and is committed to developing his knowledge in health and fitness and nutrition ever since. He left school to pursue a degree in nutrition at Queen's University Belfast and has since added numerous qualifications to his name, including a postgraduate diploma in health promotion, certified sports nutritionist with the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and accredited for body composition assessment through the ISAK. He has actively written for many of the world's biggest fitness publications, including Muscle & Fitness, Flex & Train magazine, and his book, The Diabetic Muscle & Fitness Guide, is a must-read for anyone with type 1 diabetes. He's also the host of the famous fitness podcast, Elite Muscle Radio, which is one of the top health podcasts in the UK. Phil, welcome on.
Brian, thank you for having me on, buddy.
Anything else that I've missed there, Phil? Do you want to tell the people a little bit more about yourself?
I think that bio was probably written about 2 years ago. There's a good, decent bit of stuff that's happened since then, but generally everything in that is correct. At the moment now, I'm running a massive community for people with type 1 diabetes. As you mentioned there, I had published my first book in October last year, and it's all around the world now impacting the lives of many people that live with diabetes, and we'll get into that throughout the course of the podcast. I also do a lot of mentoring for upcoming fitness professionals, personal trainers and gym owners, and people that are really wanting to make an impact in the fitness world. So yeah, I've taken all the skills from being diagnosed with diabetes, my nutrition, education and academia, and put that into bodybuilding experience, and now giving that back. So, you know, it's been a very exciting ride, and I've got quite a story behind everything. So I look forward to sharing that with you.
Man, I'm so excited. I can't wait. All right, we'll start with the first question, Phil, because I know a lot of your background, but just for my audience listening, tell the people, what got you into fitness first?
Okay, so what got me into fitness? I'm 16 years of age. I was overweight. I was out of shape. And I'll not go into a big, massive story, but basically I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune condition that's characterized by high blood glucose. So basically my body wasn't able to utilize or secrete the hormone insulin correctly, or I wasn't able to produce enough of it. And as a result of that, there are a host of side effects, and it's very, very unhealthy. Now, my lifestyle at the time was in no way, shape, or form in comparison to what I live like now. I was, as I said, I was overweight, I was inactive, I was stressed a lot. I had a very poor lifestyle, and then I got hit with this condition. Now, for those of you that know what diabetes is, you'll know that the main way to manage it is through exercise, drugs and medication, and lifestyle and nutrition. So I had a marked choice to take control of my condition and actively do something about it. And nutrition and exercise and physical activity and wellness were a massive, massive part of that. So I was forced to make those particular subjects my key values. And as a result of that, I became engrossed in understanding them, studying them, basically because they were going to improve the quality of my life and prevent me dying quicker. So I had a massive, massive level of motivation behind me to learn and obsess over this. So basically, I picked up my first weight, as I said, after diagnosis. I think it was like 8 to 10 days afterwards. I started reading. I started investigating. I started going to see people. I went down to the gym, started trial and error, a lot of trial and error, especially with diabetes. And we'll get into some of the complexities in a minute or two. And basically, I was able to craft myself a pretty decent physique at a very young age with this condition. And the doctors told me that this wasn't going to be possible. It was going to be blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I said, fuck that. And I went through with everything. I literally studied and obsessed with it to the point where I had to do this. People began to realize that. They began to recognize that. People then began to ask me for help. And at the time, I just started university. I was studying more nutrition, and that gave me a level of credibility. I became known as the go-to expert for nutrition and training and strength training at around about 17 or 18 years of age. And at that time, I was competing heavily in bodybuilding because somebody had recognized my potential when I was starting out very young. And I entered my first show, which was Mr. Northern Ireland, the juniors, and I came second in that. A year later, I then completely flipped that around, won that, and then went on to compete and win various other shows across the world, the Junior Mr. Britain, the Junior Mr. Universe, the Junior Mr. World. There was a whole host of different shows that I competed in, and I was managing my type 1 diabetes at the time, and I was working in health service at the time, and I was on placement, and I was still studying in university, and my whole life just revolved around nutrition and fitness, and I was talking about that freely. I think it was on Bebo back then, and I was dishing out a lot of information, just talking about my passion, about how I lived, and I was very single-minded, focused on what I wanted to achieve because of the motivation behind me, and nobody understood what I was doing, and you've been a competitor yourself, and you know, when you're around people that aren't like-minded, they can't really connect with what you're trying to do. So I remember that I used to be that guy who used to go out on a Saturday night and bring my Tupperware with me, nip out to the bus or wherever we were going and eat my meals, because I was incredibly focused on what I wanted to do. Now, I wouldn't do that now because I'm a little bit more educated, and my lifestyle is a little bit more accommodative of what I want to eat and how I want to eat and when I want to eat. But back then it was very regimented, it was very military. And again, I was only adapting to diabetes, so I needed to keep things as consistent as possible to be able to measure and then be able to change and tweak. So, you know, from that, I prepped the whole fitness model scene started off. And I prepped the first female fitness model in Ireland. That was a girl called Jill McConkey, and that was for the first fitness show, NIFMA, it was called. Yeah. The first ever fitness show. This was before the WBFF. And then basically things went from there. I was personal training people and became known as the guy that got people in great shape for photo shoots. And, you know, my business boomed very quickly at a very, very young age. And, you know, the whole time through that, I was training, I was enjoying it, I was helping people. And, you know, it just evolved and evolved and evolved now to the point where during that time, I actually didn't deal with many people with diabetes. I didn't talk about diabetes much. I kept it very private. And the reason for that was I just got on with it. I didn't really speak about it because not many people that I would... You know, I can count on my one hand, even a few fingers, how many people in Ireland have diabetes that are in good shape, that train, that I would respect, particularly within bodybuilding or strength training. And they were very, very hard to reach out to. So basically what happened was, as my career evolved, opportunities opened up. I began speaking in various different conferences, expos. And I mean, I started public speaking when I was like 24. I've just turned 29 now, as of the other month. And I began to meet people. And I remember one time coming off stage, I think it was an event in Birmingham, and I had a queue of people that were diabetic wanting to know how to build muscle and how to train. And I was taken back by all this, and they were saying, you should write a book on this. And I was like, no, I'm not writing a book on diabetes. No way. It's too technical. There's too much legislation around it. There's too many complications. It would be impossible to put that together. It would literally be 2,000 pages long. No way I can do that. I'm not qualified. So anyway, it began to grow on me, grow on me, grow on me, and I advanced my education. I kept learning. And this book idea kept popping up. You'd see the odd tweet. You'd see the odd Facebook message. And you know what? I just went, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I spent a year writing it on and off. And I wrote it exactly from the viewpoint of how I was when I was first diagnosed and I didn't know what to do. And I was a young male. And again, females can relate to this too, that just basically wanted to build an incredibly looking body. And I wanted to get strong and I wanted to get fit. And you know, it wasn't a wishy-washy, you know, leaning 13 guy. It was, I wanted in-depth detail. You know, and I worded exactly like that from the problems and perspectives that I had, which are very similar across people with diabetes. So the book went out, and again, it's now reaching all different parts of the world. And on top of that, my coaching career I have retired from now. I still do online work, but I don't physically coach anymore, bar the odd little bit of selective mentoring. And on top of that, again, other opportunities opened up. A lot of coaches and personal trainers that were starting their businesses came to ask me, how do you do yours? And I turned that into a business, in the sense that I advise them on their business setup. I coach them and teach them on nutrition and training, physiology and education. And I play a massive role in educating young and up-and-coming trainers in all aspects of, you know, body composition, performance, and strength. And, you know, on top of that, I've got to work with some great professional athletes as well, both in rugby, boxing, horse racing, the whole way through to professional motor car racing. And, you know, it's been an incredible journey that all stemmed from an event that I thought was going to end my life. So, I mean, you know, that's one of the things we talked about off air, about what was it that I really took from this. And, you know, the adversity is a blessing in disguise. It all depends on how you look at it. And one of my mentors, a guy, Peter Sage, always talks about life, and he talks about mishaps and adversity and things like that, almost like a flowing river. And, you know, wherever the river goes, you go with it. And diabetes was exactly that. If I didn't have diabetes, I don't think I'd be talking to you on a podcast about fitness.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. You know, I have to link back and look at that. And if we look at the values of everything that happened, you know, nutrition, fitness, wellness, mindset, they're all essential aspects of diabetes management. And if you look at my career now, it's built off all that. So there's a very, very strong undying level of focus and effort and energy that goes into preaching that and impacting others with that kind of material. So that's basically my life in a nutshell. So
that's amazing. One of the books that I'm always recommending on my podcast is Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way, which is basically using your adversity, the things that set you back in life, as stepping stones to propel you into success. And it sounds exactly like that's what you've done.
Yeah, it's, don't get me wrong. I mean, did I think from day one being diagnosed with diabetes that I was going to be here? No, I think it was the undying, relentless pursuit to be better in myself that kept me focused on the goal. And that has to start with some form of kick up the ass. And I think that humility is probably humility or some kind of severe circumstance is the best way to change action. Yeah. And if that hasn't happened to you right now and you're comfortable, you maybe have to go and look for it. That's not an excuse of why you know, go mad, but if you're not happy with where you are right now, you need a reason that is strong enough to make you change. And in saying that, you have to ride the wave with what that brings. So, humility and, you know, disease in my case was my very strong motivational factor to better myself, because I was seeing and referencing around me everyone else that was diabetic, and they were not respecting their condition or controlling it. And as a result, their physiology failed them, their psychology failed them, and they weren't getting great results in their life. So, you know, I didn't want that. And I knew if I can master this, I will have control over what I do. And my circumstance is very unique. Do I ever get down about diabetes? Do I ever get depressed about it? Not once.
Love it.
Not once. I don't think that has ever... I get emails every single day from people that have bought my book. Some of these emails are quite hard to read. People talking about depression and worrying about getting a limb cut off, and their whole life is spent worrying about what if, which is very much true, because if it's not controlled, then there is going to be a what if.
Yeah.
The reality is control is a choice, and you have to look at actively what you're doing this second. And ascertain, is that either growing or killing me? And I mean, I have a background in my phone, and basically it's to stop me procrastinating. It goes, are your actions killing you or growing you? So, you know, it's whenever I go into waste time or do something, I'm big into having filters like that in my life to really, how can I put it, make my decision making very precise. Don't get me wrong, I take the odd wobble now and again, but it's generally on average very precise and very coordinated. At the end of the day, you know, some people will laugh at that and go, what are you doing? You're dead, having that at the back of your phone. I just want to achieve the best life that I can. And that's my duty. And, you know, I have every right to do that. And if I'm getting success and results out of it, and it's improving the quality of my life with, you know, not only turnover, but impact in terms of other people, then I'm going to do everything that I can to chase that. And I'm not ashamed of that. So, you know, that's just the way I see things.
I love it. I'm laughing as well because I have, I put it on my Snapchat recently. I have on my computer screen, are you working, Brian? Like, I've got the worst ADHD and I'm going to be looking out the window when I'm supposed to be writing stuff. And I've literally got a post-it note that says, are you working, Brian? That brings me back into the moment and be like, focus on what you got to do now. So I'm laughing. It's just these things that trigger you to keep you more productive.
I think everyone nowadays has a mild case of ADHD with amount of distractions that are out there. But, you know, again, you know, a big thing for me is, you know, I don't want to be consuming social media all the time. I want to be producing it. And you know yourself, half the stuff that you see on social media is not real.
Yeah.
You know, and what people, and there's studies about this, what people put on social media the most is what they are insecure about. Now, it's obviously different in the context of you sharing information and knowledge, but if you look at it from a general public perspective of randomly posting up images or quotes or certain things, it's usually there's an ethos behind that. And again, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it's just important to be mindful of that. Some things are blown out of proportion, and if you are in a bad mindset or in a bad case and you go to look at something on social media and you reference it to your own, when you start referencing or comparing, life starts to go downhill. And I used to do that a lot. I mean, there's a lot of mindset lessons that I used to learn the whole way through. I mean, you know, I was 23 to, you know, 26, and I was hanging around with very successful people. I've always made an effort to hang around with people that are better than me. And that was a massive, massive, I wouldn't say mistake, but it was misleading to the point where I was constantly in competition. And, you know, I think it's Ty Lopez, I think, I don't know where I got this from, but he bases his company off a third mix.
Yeah, it's TED Talk.
People less successful, people equally, and people more. I don't think I've heard the TED Talk, but I just heard somebody say to me, and it was one of those things that stuck in my mind. And, you know, you have to have distribution of your environment in terms of who you hang around with.
Yeah.
The reason for that simply is because the people that are less successful than you, you can either help or they allow you to reference where you don't want to be. The people that are equally as successful allow you to communicate and share ideas. And the people that are more inspirational. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you spend your time in one column, you're going to severely limit your, you know, everything from gratitude to respect to competition, healthy competition, gratitude. There's a whole host of things that can get confused there. So, you know, my mind is very open to that. I'm very aware of my environment. And, you know, yes, Brian, there are going to be some times where I'm in an environment where I don't want to and I just have to write through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everybody that's listening to this show is listening to this show for a reason, and that is to improve the quality of their life.
Yeah.
And if you've listened this far already, then you're clearly making a marked commitment to that, because you're trying to look for elements that I've maybe used in my life to reach success and achieve things that you can maybe stencil and put into your own life and framework to your own situation. And I think it, you know, that boils down to mindset. And, you know, like yourself, you know, you become obsessed with improving the quality of your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll look at a book as an opportunity to improve my life, whereas some people look at a book as a chore, you know. And again, that's a mindset thing. And that just, you know, I'm big into saying, if you're not happy with your current state of affairs and don't complain, you know, you got to really be on the ball with, you know, trying to chase learning, chase improvement, chase measurement, what's working, what's not, you know, those are big things.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I regularly speak on the podcast and on other platforms about getting information from books and different people. I personally read 2-3 books every week. I consume a lot of Audible books. That'll lead me in, because you mentioned it there, but that sometimes you can learn. One of my favorite quotes, I actually think this came from Ty Lopez as well, is smart people learn from their mistakes and really smart people learn from other people's mistakes. And books, sometimes different people consuming their information. So following, you know, people like yourself is going to help you shortcut your learning curve to better improve your life. But in terms of, you mentioned books there, apart from your book, which I think every diabetic should read, is there any book that you think that everybody on the planet could benefit from reading? Anyone that you love that you're like, everyone should read this?
Yeah, there's a couple of books. Let me just grab a few here. I have... Okay, so one of the biggest books that changed my life was called As a Man Thinketh by Ye Allen.
Love it.
Favorite short book. Yeah. This, although it's a corny title, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, is a tremendous book. It's a very corny title, but that book, again, has probably changed my way of thinking. And again, this Daily Stoic is actually quite a refreshing read. So
that's Ryan Holiday. That's who I mentioned earlier. That's the same guy.
Yeah, I've read a few of his bits and pieces, and you know, it's you know, you got to read and stuff like that. And you know, sometimes, like, I have a routine in the morning, and I will sometimes either read, or I will listen to audio, or I will watch video. It all depends on what mood I'm in. I don't stick to one format. I just go with what way my mind is telling me. It's like the same with my rituals and stuff in the morning. You know, I wake up every morning, and the first thing I do is I have a cold shower to wake me up. Then I'll go and make some coffee, and you know, depending on how I feel, I'll either sit and meditate, or I'll go out and do some walking. And if I walk, I'll either go out in silence, I'll either go out and listen to music that gets me inspired, or I'll listen to an audiobook, or I will meditate and simply not listen to anything. It all depends on how I feel in the morning. I don't have a set routine in terms of I must meditate every morning, I must meditate. And I just go with my energy. I just go with the way my body is. And I think everybody, it's like training. Everybody gets fixed to a plan, or to hear that some successful guy meditates every morning or whatever. You know, trying to force yourself to do something when your mind's not right. There's times that I'll wake up in the morning and I'll just be wanting to read. There's times in the morning I'll wake up and I'll just look, right, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit in silence. It all depends on how busy my head is. Yeah. It all depends on what is actually going through my head. And, you know, like everyone else, I'm subject to life stresses just like everyone else. You know, my training now, I took 2 years out from training just to train relatively easy, and I'm back into training now. And, you know, my training is incredibly focused, and it takes up a massive part of my life, a massive part of my day, not just the training, but the recovery and getting myself in the right mindset to train. And you know, again, your results are down to what you value the most. So, you know, my business was a number one value there for me, and also my family and stuff like that, and my health as well. And you know, I think as an entrepreneur, sometimes you can put the, and I think it's very true, you put the business in front of the family, because the business is a survival tool to let the family live. So that can be quite hard for other people to understand who are maybe in paid employment or that don't have an entrepreneurial mindset, and that isn't everyone. So yeah.
No, that's brilliant. That takes a lot. It's funny because the next question I was going to ask about morning rituals, and that really helps me because I talk a lot on morning rituals, trying to do the same thing. But I, now that you say really go with what works for you and how you feel, I'm actually going to apply that.
Yeah, you got to change it. You know, like, you know, there was this morning, I woke up and what did I do this morning? I woke up and I did 15, I read first of all, because I wanted to read. My mind said read something. I literally dedicated an hour and a half for myself in the morning.
Yeah.
I read this morning and I meditated for 15 minutes.
What type of meditation routine do you do?
Specifically transcendental meditation. I use guided meditation. I use Headspace, which is an app. That works for me. I have gone to meditation classes and stuff like that. But it takes a... When we talk about morning rituals and being consistent, if you want to be able to meditate successfully, that will require practice.
Yeah.
And if you are mindful that you want to be skillful in that, then you do have to do that repetitively to a point. Now, don't get me wrong, when I say to you I may not meditate in the morning, that doesn't mean that I might take 2 minutes in the afternoon to just stop. So my day is always peppered with elements of self-development or reflection. I will journal as well. And I have a sort of tidy system in that where I'll just look at a couple of main elements. I'll look at, right, how do I want today to go? I'll look at what I learned yesterday, what I will improve upon. I will then look at things that I'm grateful for. I will then do affirmations for the day or affirmations for the year or whatever that is specific to my goal that I want to improve in at the particular time. And that could take up to 45 minutes. Yeah. Times 35 minutes, I go into very, very deep detail on that. Sometimes that could take 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sitting in front of a bit of paper and I can't write anything, then that's for a reason. I will try something else. I'm not one to sit and go, oh, I didn't fill out my 5 points of gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you got to look at being very fluid with it. Anytime during the day that I get a freak out moment or I get overwhelmed, I stop and I literally go and sit down and either put on some form of personal development or just sit in silence or brainstorm or brain splurge on a page and then put it down the toilet.
Okay.
And that helps me a lot. I mean, again, a lot of these behaviors will be very, very out there for people that do not do this. But trust me, when you have a large responsibility, businesses to run, and a lot of people to please, your head can get quite fuzzy at particular times, especially as you're continually trying to grow and you're trying to learn. And also bear in mind that I've got diabetes as well that I have to contend with. So I have to be able to put my mental welfare first. And I can't remember who said quote, but it's about sharpening an axe before you cut a tree.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. And you know, that is so, so true. I mean, most people get up in the morning, go to bed, are browsing their Facebook for half an hour in bed, go to bed, wake up, check their Facebook, go and get coffee, go to work, check Facebook on the bus, then get off at work, sit and work in a job that they don't want to work in, then eat their Tupperware meals or their set calories, and then go and train, check Facebook just in the change room, just in case, or while they're in the mid-set, and then repeat all that again.
Yeah.
If that's your idea of successful living, no judgment, yeah. But if you're complaining about someone else making more money than you, being more successful than you, being more better looking, having a better body, don't complain, because we are as a creative state. And I think that's I had a great chat the other day with a psychologist friend of mine, and you know, depression in itself, whatever mindset that you're in at the particular time, is a creative state.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very powerful. If you're ever feeling down or you're ever feeling confused or overwhelmed, that you stop and go, right, I'm creating this. What have I created out of this? And yes, there are going to be situations that are outside your control. There are going to be things in life that are absolutely awful that happen. But, you know, like I tell myself every day that I'm prepared for that. You know, I think it was Marcus Aurelius wrote in Meditations, Greek philosophy, that, you know, every day you're going to wake up to people that hate you, that don't like you, that want to kill you, that want to steal from you, that want to have an affair with your wife, all these things. Like, you know, you have to prepare yourself in every angle.
Yeah.
And I think as a man, it's your duty, you know, to be mindful of your thoughts and pieces like that. So, yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about mindset here, and I think that's absolutely essential, because there's so many people that are brain dumb, are brain deaf,
yeah, nowadays.
So, yeah, these are big things to consider.
Yeah, no, I think people are going to get loads from that. And it's funny because you're mentioning a lot of things that I mention on the show regularly. So I think it's funny because success leaves clues, and you get a lot when you chat to people as successful as yourself. The same kind of messages come up on meditation, fueling your mind with the positive things, taking control, taking ownership of wherever you are in your life. If you're not happy, you have ownership to change that. And then Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, I read that nearly every night before bed. It's just I love that.
A lot of the things that we're saying there, you know, people will look at and they'll get an instant 1 second. That's a good idea. That's right. I am going to live my life like that, but they never follow through. And, you know, in respect to all of that stuff, mindset and personal development, action is the biggest thing. And I know plenty of people that get involved in personal development that never take action. And yes, you know, sometimes it can be scary to take action. It can be hard and difficult to take a leap of faith, whether that's in a business, whether that's in a relationship. But sometimes you have to get hit to move forward. And for some people, they just can't do that. They spend their entire life hiding. And you know, whenever it comes to seeing someone else more successful, then there's resent, then there's jealousy. And, you know, I mean, I achieved a lot fairly young. And I mean, again, my definition of success is completely different than a lot of other people's. It's not materialistic things. My definition of success would be a clear mind and my own time and health. And yes, finance can definitely help that. But one thing I noticed, and this is particularly young amongst guys my age, in their 20s, they don't want, there's not many people that want to see you do well. There's not many people that want to see you successful. And that holds a lot of people back. And at first, whenever I started my career, I could never understand that because I was working hard, I was passionate, I was interested. And I could never understand why people didn't want to see me well, because I was impacting people, I was changing people's lives. And yes, I was making money out of that. Yes, I was making a career out of that. But at the same time, too, I was impacting much more than the person that was maybe jealous was, much more, significantly more. And then, you know, I think it takes a level of maturity to get to a point where you've impacted that much that you literally don't care anymore. And again, I've talked about this a number of times, but I have a filter for anyone that sees you do well and that is jealous or reacts to how you get on, is simply to look at them and go, have they achieved more than me? And if the answer is yes, then that will be critical feedback. If the answer is no, then you do not listen to it. It's as simple as that. Unless you can actively and responsibly own up and say, I was not at my best at that particular period of time. If there's reason behind that. And, you know, that holds people back a lot, especially nowadays with Instagram and social media. We live in a society that is saturated with the approval of others as being the main thing to give you permission to go and set up a business or do your own thing. And if only people realized that everyone else around them had more than enough problems themselves, that they could just get on with their stuff. And I see so many young guys in fitness, again, worrying about how big their following is, worrying about how many likes they've got on a photo. And then I say to them, how many people do you really need to make a living? That answer could be 10 to 15 to 20 people. And you're worried about 1,000 likes on your photograph. You know, that's another thing. It's like relying on likes and hearts and stuff is a sense of approval. And you know, again, like, you know, I've spoken with some really, really, really interesting people on this, but if you can imagine building a social media profile and getting thousands of likes on photographs, that's, again, gratification, gratification, gratification. You train your mind to expect that. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're basing your sense of purpose on what other people perceive you as. And that can create a work with your persona when it comes to real life. And I never wanted to rely on that. I know it's important. It's definitely important to be sharing good quality information or getting recognition for what you're doing. But for any of the upcoming fitness people that are listening, don't read into that as your only method of approval. You have to approve yourself before you let anyone else do that. So if you don't love yourself or you don't approve yourself, then don't be going out looking at from external sources, because you can guarantee they've liked 100 other photos.
I love it.
You know, so yeah, my mind's built up very clear and directional in that sense. And that's a huge thing that jars a lot of people in their growth to success, is relying on shit like that. You know, when I speak to any of my guys, that my friends that are super successful, that have impacted massively, that have great turnovers, that have great lifestyles, that are impacting, helping lots of people, they literally don't care about their social media likes or hearts. They know in their hearts that they're putting out great content, and the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in their bank balance. The proof is in their opportunities. The proof is in everything that is occurring and happening very, very fast. So, you know, don't just look at your social media likes as proof. Look at people saying, you changed my life, you've helped me, you've improved me. Look at someone taking 35 minutes to write out their life story in an email and saying, look at how much you've impacted me. Look at things like people coming up to you in the street and saying, look, I really respect what you do. You put out a lot of great content. You know, you've actually changed my viewpoint on this and you've improved the quality of my life. That is called success.
Not scrolling through and tapping on a photograph.
That is success.
Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. I just want to take a quick 90 seconds to thank you all for downloading the podcast and tell you about my 6-week top 50 online program. It still blows my mind to see the thousands of downloads every week, so thank you all so much. What if I told you you could lose body fat, build muscle, or tone up all without putting your life on hold? One of the things that irks me in fitness is people saying that you need to train for an hour and a half every day or do loads of cardio to get in good shape, or silly things like you need to avoid putting milk in your coffee or completely eliminate alcohol or else you're going to get fat. The truth is, you can get into incredible shape by eating certain foods, timing your meals properly, and following a training program that is in exact alignment with your specific goals. And you can do this without putting your life on hold. The right program should fit into your lifestyle and schedule and not the other way around. Whether you're a guy or a girl, think about how good it would feel losing body fat and building muscle or toning up, all because you have the right systems in place. You didn't have to starve yourself, you didn't have to spend hours and hours in the gym, or even try and piece together different workouts and nutrition plans together yourself in the hope that they worked. With my top 50 program, you'll have a full blueprint on how to best time your meals, what foods to eat, all your macro calculations, and different recipes to help keep you on track. My philosophy on nutrition is to help you find the strategies, foods, and systems that work best for your lifestyle and goal, so your diet just becomes the way you eat and not a diet you're following. Also, have you ever found yourself thinking, am I doing this exercise right? Or is this the best way to lose fat, tone up, or build muscle? I remember that feeling too well. Imagine the peace of mind knowing exactly how to do every exercise at home or in the gym, and knowing that your training program is in exact alignment with your specific goals, and seeing your body composition change as a result. Everyone has different nutritional preferences, lifestyles, and schedules, and my Top 50 program is the only program where I work with each person through the Top 50 Facebook group. Here I do weekly Q&As with everyone in the program, and this is where we can tweak and adapt training and nutrition to make the program perfect for you. Not only that, but you'll also have one of my online coaches working with you Monday to Friday to make sure that there's no stone left unturned in getting you into amazing shape. Every program is capped at 50 people, so once the group hits 50 people, it closes until the next round. So for more information or to sign up for the next 6-week Top 50 online program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com, or email me on brian@briankeenfitness.com. And thanks again for listening.
Agreed. Like, I love the Zig Ziglar quote that if you help people get what they want, you'll have everything you want. And that's how you, again, success is determined by each person and how whatever you decide success looks like for you. But that's incredible advice to give people, that it's not about the gratification from the likes on a photo. Yeah. Like, the truth is, you put up an ab selfie, it's going to get 1,000 likes on Instagram.
Yeah. And that's very hard to coach, because people want instant gratification. And what I've just explained to you is years and years and years of hard work.
Yeah.
And we live in a society now that is selling all these marketing programs, all these success programs, everything this and that is going to promise you this. None of that stuff works instantly.
Yeah.
It takes a long-term commitment to showing up every day, and not just showing up every day, but actually making impact. And impact could be, I don't care if you're a comedian that's making people laugh and bringing them out of depression. I don't care if you're a nutrition guru and you're telling people how to eat better. I don't care if you're a top-level bodybuilder and you're telling people how to get ready for shows in a smarter and clearer way. You're adding value in some sense.
Yeah.
And that's paramount. That should be at the number one front of your mind.
Yeah.
Because you talk or you open your mouth.
I love it. Okay, Phil, we've got about 5 minutes left because I know how busy you are. I'm going to throw a couple of rapid fire questions at you. So this is one of my favorite parts. So I'm looking forward to see personally what your answers are on it. Okay, first question. When you think of the word successful, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
You got me. In any respect?
Yeah, any respect.
I'm fussy. We can
come back to that one. Will I let that one sit?
Yeah, I'll come back to that
Let that one sit. What purchase of £100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 months?
I would probably say that book, As a Man Thinketh, which was £6, has had a massive and profound impact on my life. There's other books as well that have had that. Definitely would be a book, and that would be one of the main ones.
I love it. I love that book. It's Real Thoughts Become Things, What You Think You Become.
Okay,
next question. Do you have a quote you live your life by or think of often?
Yeah, it's up on my wall here. And it is, self-control is strength, right thought is mastery, calmness is power.
Oh, I love it. Whose quote? Do you know who that by?
I actually just made that up.
Did you? Okay. I'm going to put your name beside that one. That's going to be one that goes on my wall at some stage.
I have that. And, you know, there's a lot of other ones. And, you know, go where the fear is. As I said, I'm big into filters for quick decision making and quick action. But, yeah, those kinds of things. I say a lot. You've probably heard me say a lot. Is what you do on average. That's a big quote of mine that applies to everything from nutrition, training, the whole way through to mindset, business, relationships, everything. So, and then Robin Sharma had a great quote. I mean, actually, it's actually a brilliant one. It's actually worth looking up, so bear with me. Absolutely amazing quote.
Yeah, Robin. I trained Robin in, he was doing the Pendulum Summit in Dublin. I trained with him in January when he was down. He's an awesome guy. He's so chilled out. It's unbelievable. His presence is just incredible.
Oh, right. Is that a summit type thing?
He spoke at the Pendulum Summit in Dublin in January, and I trained with himself and Keith Ferrazzi, who's the author of Never Eat Alone. We were in the hotel.
I have that book there, actually.
Yeah.
The quote goes like this. Your past was perfect preparation for your gorgeous future. Honor it versus regret it.
Oh, I love it.
So that's very, very, very powerful.
Brilliant. Okay, next one. What is something you believe that other people think is insane?
That you're entitled to success.
Oh, nice. That's strong. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Overcome.
Where would you put it?
Where would it, location-wise?
Yeah.
If it was here, I'd probably put it in the center of Belfast. I think overcome is a word for me that I saw this on an advert whenever I was very young and I started bodybuilding, and I think it was one of the Animal Pack. I don't know if you remember Animal Pack.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And it was actually a tattoo on a guy's forearm, and it said overcome. And that was very symbolic to me from the perspective of overcome adversity, overcome challenge, overcome self-doubt, and achieve. And, you know, if you think of the word overcome, you know, that literally everything that you're going through that's holding you back from success right now, you need to overcome.
Yeah.
And you can be applied to so many circumstances. So
brilliant. All right, last two. What's the worst advice you see or hear being dispensed in your world? So in fitness, nutrition, anything along those lines?
The worst advice that really does my head in is the marketers and people selling fast success packages that are promising big figures in a very short period of time.
Love it. Do you want to expand on that one?
I just think that, you know, remember, just because somebody has had great success doing one thing doesn't mean that's going to apply to you, because in order to achieve that, there's been particular circumstances for that success to grow. Networks, communication, skills that you maybe don't have. And, you know, always just trust first, then verify.
Love it.
I
have that written on my wall too. That's literally on my whiteboard here. Trust and verify. Okay, last one, Phil. How has failure or apparent failure set you up for later success, or do you have a favorite failure of yours?
Failure. I'd probably say coming second in my first bodybuilding show was probably a big failure for me, because it was years of training that led to one event that I came second in, and I didn't come out at my best. And second to me, whenever I was put on a pedestal and told that I was going to be first. I think as well, listening to honest critical feedback is essential.
Yeah.
And from time to time, you need to stop with a friend and say, look, listen, give it to me. Am I being a dick? Tell me what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm ready. Or tell me, just tell me how it is. What do you not like about me? What have you heard about me in the grapevine? I'm ready to hear it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can turn a blind eye to that. I think it's very important to sometimes just stop and go, right, you know, while I said the opinion of other people doesn't matter, for somebody that you respect, that obviously knows you and knows your standards and knows your values, if you can stop them and say, look, please tell me if I'm being a dick. Have you heard of anything through the grapevine where I have not been of service or anything like that, bar the exclusion of jealous comments? Or have you heard from anyone that is on a very high level of success? Is there something going around about me that is not cohesive what I'm trying to achieve? I would love to be made aware of it, because at the moment I feel like there's something that I can clean up. You know what I mean? You ask that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that particular show at the time, I didn't get honest feedback in the lead up to it. Again, probably people were too scared to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
You know, again, I didn't ask for it either. So, critical feedback and stuff like that. From that show, the minute onwards, I surrounded myself with critical feedback.
It's massive. Fitness and bodybuilding is like a metaphor for life, because that translates into every aspect of your life. With the people you trust, getting honest feedback, because you can only move forward if somebody... Sometimes we're so attached to the way we are that you need an honest opinion on, have I been a dick? Do I look like this? Or whatever it is, to get that from somebody. So that's really, really... That's,
you know, like a big thing that I see a lot of people say is that, you know, when you bodybuilding, go, oh, you've got your discipline from bodybuilding, you've got your... No, it's because of what I value the most.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with bodybuilding. Bodybuilding was merely a completely separate goal or entity. Running a business or achieving something is entirely to do with what I value the most, and that's impacting people. That's completely different than a personal goal. So again, a lot of people, oh, you're so regimented with your eating and your training, you would be really, really good as a business manager, you'd be really, really good as this. I think that is not really appropriate advice, because it's a completely different value and a completely different aspect.
Yeah, well, it's all about what you value the most and then applying that. Phil, I just want to say a massive thank you, because I know my audience are going to get so much from this. As I said, success leaves clues, and anyone that's been listening to my podcast for a long time will hear a lot of similar messages. I know we read a lot of the same books, so some of those ideas are very, very similar. So I want to say a massive thank you. Where's the best place for anyone listening to the show to find out more about you?
And thank you, Brian, for having me on. I know how much time these things take and out of your day as well. Simply head over to diabeticmuscleandfitness.com, and that's where you can get the book. You can also get it on amazon.com, or you can try my main website, which is going to be redeveloped in the next month, which is phil-graham.com. You can get me on social media simply by typing my name in. I'm probably most active on Instagram stories at the moment. And then my podcast, Elite Muscle Radio, on iTunes.
Brilliant. And everyone that's listening to this, if you head over to my social media, you'll see Phil's links. I'll put all of the links in the show notes as well. So again, Phil, thank you so much. Thanks everyone for listening. Catch you guys soon.
Hey everyone, as a thank you to everyone who subscribed to my podcast, I'm giving away two free programs every week for the month of April, one for each episode. My two flagship programs are the BKF online program, which is my male and female program that has everything you need to build muscle, lose body fat and tone up. Each version is based around your specific goals. And my GA Lean Body program, which has all the tools you need to get into incredible shape, whether that's to build muscle, tone up or lose body fat, while simultaneously improving your performance so you're fitter, faster and stronger on the pitch. For a chance to win whichever program fits your goals best, just subscribe to my podcast and leave an honest review, and I'll be picking two winners every week. Winners will be announced on my Snapchat, BrianK019, so be sure to follow me on there to see if you've won. I'm picking the winners from random reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, so thanks again for downloading and subscribing, and best of luck to everyone. Okay.